The word of God is true. And in 1 John, he said, this is what God testifies, giving us the eternal life, and that life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now, you remember a week ago in our fancy presidential campaign when she was speaking to the crowd and someone yelled out about Jesus. What happened? Remember? She laughed and then said, you're in the wrong place. The right place for you to be is down the street. And then her security guards took that person out. Two of them, yeah. Took them out. And they don't want to know about Jesus. And that's the trouble with our society today. They don't believe the truth of God and the Word. Truth. That's our new lifestyle. He says, throw off our old sinful nature, which is full of corruption, and put on the new nature. Let him renew your thoughts and attitudes, which is to be like him, to be holy. And stop telling lies and don't be controlled by your anger. If you're a thief, stop stealing, but give generously. Let everything you say be good and helpful and encourage each other. So basically, adding on to that, as we talked a little bit last week, work hard and give generously. So the smooth tricks of scoundrels are evil. They plot crooked schemes. They lie to convict the poor. Even when the cause of the poor is just. But generous people plan to do what is generous. And they stand firm in their generosity. And Paul tells the church in Corinth in the ninth chapter of 2 Corinthians is about giving primarily. And he said, God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and he'll provide for your needs. And people who are sincere give generously, and their good deeds will be remembered. And remember what it says in Proverbs about our language. The words of the godly are life-giving fountains. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. Ever have people speak to your face and say, you're a nice person, and they hate you? Corinthians 10, and then back to the next one, language. Words of godly are life-giving fountains. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. And in Proverbs 10:32, it says, the lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speak perverse words. And wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings reward. And then in Isaiah 35, he says we're to encourage. He said, even the wilderness and the desert will be glad in those days. The wastelands will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. There will be abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. And you know, if you read the context, you realize that this is talking about when Jesus comes. The Messiah. The one that is coming back to Jerusalem to restore everything. And we know that that happens. We know it's going to happen because Jesus said it would. We know it's going to happen because Revelation says it will. We know it's going to happen because that's the word. And even though in the context, quite often he's talking about Israel coming back from Babylon, but if you realize, not all of these things really happened. They came back to a plentiful land. And right now it is a plentiful land. But it's not as restored as what this says yet. But it'll only be restored like that when Jesus comes back. But he wants that to be an encouragement. And today, Hebrews 10:25, which you know Hebrews talks about the relationship of the Old Testament law and New Testament grace. He said, now, in 10:25, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. To me, that's been a very pivotal verse for years and years. Because in your lifetime and my lifetime, things have kind of gotten worse. And I've talked so many times about how people have given up church. When I was a boy growing up, everyone went to church on Sunday, at least 90% of the people. Now we're lucky if 10% of the people go to church on Sundays. And I've seen that develop over the years. And I thank you for meeting here with me and letting me enjoy my joy of trying to preach the word and trying to teach truth. And I always say trying because I'm not sure that I can always get everything right. But that's my purpose. I want the word to penetrate my heart and your heart. And you know, the interesting thing about it, oftentimes when I put these sermons together, I'll put the reference and I have ideas in my mind as I go to the different references and find the ones that relate. I always count on the Lord to provide through you and the Holy Spirit the things that are going to come out. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. But we all contribute to each other, don't we? And that's the Holy Spirit working in spite of this little evil guy up there. And he's got a hedge about him anyway. And he can't say a thing and they can't do one thing. Okay, and then in Ephesians 4:30, back to Ephesians. He said, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So remember that he guarantees our salvation. And that's where it's all. And then he says, get rid of all bitterness, in 31, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of them. And then be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Be examples. Are Christians always the best examples? Not always, are we? So looking at some of these words that he gave there, In Proverbs 11:17, he says, your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. Christians, to be kind? Yeah. If they say cruel things to others, do you think that's helpful? Not even if you're arguing a truth. And if you make it cruel, that's why the verse that Robert has up there every week as well, that we need to be ready to give answers, but with graciousness and truth. We can say, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell, right? Is that true? Sure, it's true. But how we say it can either be for good or evil, right? And we can use it for evil. And then in Romans 12:8, if your gift, and this is talking about the gifts, different gifts, spiritual gifts, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given your leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Do any of us have experience of people doing things for others gladly? Yeah. In our fellowship here, we have a lot of illustrations of that, of people doing it gladly. But then there are people that say things angry to other people. And then they do a Rodney Dangerfield. Do you know what a Rodney Dangerfield is? It's when they say something mean to someone else, and then that person comes back with something mean. Oh, poor is me. I'm a victim here. Poor is me. I'm a victim. That's a Rodney Dangerfield. You make things bad for other people, and then when they retaliate, you're the victim. You're the victim. And I've seen that happen over the years, big time, personally, with different people. And so that's the old classic movie, Rodney Dangerfield, who always was the poor me, because people picked on him. Of course, never in mind that he picked on them first. Anyway, enough of that. But with kindness, show kindness. And then in 1 Peter 3:8, he says about being tenderhearted. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted. And keep a humble attitude. Be tenderhearted. And you know, when you think about that, that's a much better response, being tender-hearted to people. Does that mean that they'll always be nice to you? No. And keep a humble attitude. Humility doesn't mean you're putting yourself down. Humility means that you're asking God to see your heart and to do what is right without pride. Humility is the opposite of pride. And we see a lot of pride today. People say, look at what I've done. Look what I've done. And that doesn't mean we can't take pride in our accomplishments. If something goes well, we can be proud of that. But that doesn't mean we have to shout it on the mountaintops, right? It means talk about it humbly, and thank the Lord that we had the ability.
I'm afraid that when I say, look at what I've done, it's usually because I've created such a mess that it's almost irredeemable.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And you can find that daily in our lives. You know, I was trying to fix something the other day, and I had ideas of what I was going to do. But all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, as I was working on these things, actually, a thought came to me. You have something in your garage that will help you fix this better than what you were thinking. And sure enough, that was God's thing. It wasn't mine. I wasn't smart enough to figure it out. God, any of us that ever worked on cars over the year, we know that is actually true. And nowadays, we can't do it, so we have to leave it to others to fix things. Enough of that. But be tenderhearted and a humble attitude. And then forgiving. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day, and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. You remember that was Peter's conversation with the Lord? How many times should I forgive? I don't think he was expecting the Lord's answer. He thought 7 times was enough. And so Jesus told him 70 times 7.
One thing, there are people that you know, they say they forgive, but the way they act, they don't show that.
Exactly.
You know? It's like you can see that they're still holding that grudge. They're still holding that onto them. It's like a bitterness thing happening there, you know?
Yeah.
And the bitterness is there. So they say, oh, I forgive you. Or this, you know, they're not really forgiving you because you can tell that they haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's really hard for some people to really act upon forgiveness, isn't it? Forgiveness means that you let it go. But do we harbor it in the back of our mind? If we do, you know what happens? Bitterness. Bitterness sets in. If we don't truly forgive, if we harbor what people have done to us, or what they have not done that we expect them to, if we harbor that, that equates with unforgiveness, even though we can say, I forgive you. A lot of people never ask forgiveness anyway. They have a hard heart, and it's too hard to ask forgiveness because it means that they did something wrong. So sometimes people don't say, forgive me. And that gets us into bitterness too. So we need to be forgiving. And then we need to remember Christ. Romans 5:15, but there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And in that passage, Paul is talking about the two men, the first Adam and the second Adam. The second Adam truly forgives. And isn't that kind of hard to put into our mind sometimes, that his forgiveness for us is forever? 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 Hebrews 12:24. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and his people, and the sprinkle, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. And in that context there, he's talking about the difference between Cain and Abel. And during that time when sin first revealed big time, the sons of Adam and Eve, when they illustrated the difference between good and evil, right? Evil controlled Cain. Abel was God's grace. And God set in motion the difference between grace and guilt between the two Adams. And so remember what it says in Colossians, just repeats what Paul has been saying in Ephesians. Since God chose you to be holy people, he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I love this passage in Colossians. Problem is, it talks about too many things. But to summarize all that Paul said in Ephesians over a number of passages. But I like this passage in Colossians. This is what life is all about. This is what life is good. And this is what it's about. So that's what I want to be. And I pray to the Lord, help me to be better at this than I am. And then if you want to understand what real love is, as I've said too many times, 1 John will tell you what love is all about. Say it again, Sam. Or Dave. And then we're to imitate God. He says we are new children. Ephesians 5:1, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Some of us remember how important it is to be a child. Some of us regret, and I hear so many things about people that did not have a good childhood and have regrets. But those of us who have had a good childhood, it's such a good blessing, is it not? And God sometimes turns it around when people suffer as children. He knows how to turn it around and lead us to the place where we can become free. We're to imitate God and remember that he is our children. And I can remember when we were at seminary in Wheaton, we had Sunday school classes in the church we went to in Westmont, Illinois. And Jan taught Sunday school class, and there were a number of children there, some that came from pretty bad homes. And when she was talking in that class, and I may not get it totally exact right, One of the little boys could not understand how good a father could be, because basically his father had been mean to him always. So he had a hard time getting the concept that God could be a loving father. But that is really something that we need to know, that we are his children and he loves us. In verse 2 of Ephesians 5, he says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Ever enjoy the aroma of a good meal? What is the aroma that you love in a good meal?
Bacon.
What's that?
Bacon.
There you go. Always bacon. How about a good beef roast? Or, pardon this, if you're not a Jew, a pork roast? A good ham? We like the aroma. And, you know, when you think about even the sacrifices in the Old Testament, remember how God said he was pleased with the aroma? He was pleased with the sacrifices of the lambs. I like a beef roast better than a lamb roast, but it's all right. If you can pick it off of your teeth. Anyway, Christ's example. And then he says in the verse, don't do the worldly examples. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talks, and coarse jokes are not for you. Instead, let them be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping things of the world. That's the New Testament criticism of what Israel did in their idols. So we still have idolatry today, and it's because of these evil natures, and we sure see that parallel, don't we? We see it all over TV and the internet. And he said, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things that people do. And that was a problem in the early church. There was a number of people, and even if you read the first few chapters of Revelation, you'll find that there was one or two churches that practiced the Nicolaitans and practice the way of Balaam. And if you go back and understand Balaam and his donkey, Balaam was asked to curse Israel when they were on their way to Palestine. And there was never a Palestine, by the way. But when they were on the way to the Promised Land, and God made him bless Israel. So then what did Balaam do? He said, okay, give me your money anyway that you were going to give me, and here's how you can take care of the Israelites. Bring them into sexual slavery. You bring them into that, and they will defeat themselves. So the way of Balaam is the world's deception today. And then he says in 8 and 9, we are to live in the Lord's light. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. And we're going to come back to living in the light next week. We'll find this to be continued. And we're to live wisely, be cautious, live Holy Spirit life. And then you're going to see that we'll get into family relations. And Paul begins to meddle. And we'll see that next week. But husbands and wives, Paul meddled. And even though he never was married, he knew truth. But he didn't meddle the wrong way in lives, not like some of our people that have been in leadership who tried to teach what was right, but they wound up meddling in the very things of the world. I wouldn't mention Bill Gothard, okay? I'm meddling, okay? In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door, and we're sure seeing a lot of those things right now, aren't we? And Father God, teach us to adore you. Teach us what it means to follow your example, to love you with all of our hearts, to worship you, adore you, and praise you, and thank you, and to use your qualities in this life that you give us through the abundance of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your grace and mercy and goodness to us and your blessing. Indeed, we are a blessed people, and each of us know that that blessing stands forever. Thank you for your mercy, forgiveness, blessings, and grace. Help us to walk in that circumspectly this week, and we'll thank you in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Shalom.